You are the light of the world. Shine God's light in your good works. Then our light will shine forth for all people to see. Our opening hymn is My Hope is Built, number 368, verses 1 and 2.
During the week, we have one person who has birthday, Louis Cook. So if you happen to see him or you can make a phone call, happy birthday. And somehow, if we miss your information, your birthday or anniversary, please don't get upset or mad. You can simply make a phone call or knock my door, okay? Please. And we want to celebrate your birthday and anniversary together. So now, let's share. It is time for us to share our joys and concerns. What joy you want to celebrate as a family and lift prayer requests to God. Oh, yes.
Last week I had asked for prayers for my friend Wendy, who
has
neurological problems.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I'm so happy she's at home now. So please continue to have her in your prayers, Chris. If you don't mind, can we have his name?
Don.
Don, yes. Yes. Thank you for sharing. Please have Don in your prayers for faster recovery and his heart as well. Yes. There. Yes. Oh, yes.
About a week ago, James got hurt at work and hurt his back, and he's got a pinched nerve, and it's like affecting his leg where it's numb all the time and it gives out on him, and so he's having a hard time right now, so just some prayers for his recovery. So.
Yes, yes. Please have James in your prayers. Okay, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Yes.
I have a joy and concern. My sister-in-law's mother passed away on Wednesday, and the service was yesterday, but the joy was that I got to see and be with all my brothers and sisters, because we don't get together often.
So. Yes, yes. Please have her family in your prayers. Yes, thank you for sharing. Yes.
I'd like to give praise and thanks to God for answers to prayer this week. Barb Frick had to have surgery on her knee. That went very well. It was successful. And I also have another friend who had been quite ill and is improved substantially.
Yes, yes. Barb's surgery went really well, and she has been waiting for the surgery quite a long time, for years, and finally she had it, and it went well. Now she's at home. Now she's walking a little bit more and more every day. So she appreciates your prayers. So please continue to have her in your prayers. Other joys and concerns?
I
Yes.
Just continue prayers for Bruce and Debbie Kramer and Debbie's dad, Norm Parsons. The journey they're going through, just Bruce and Debbie needs a lot of love and
yes.
strength and patience. And, it's hard on them. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Pastor Parson is a brilliant guy, and now somehow he's declining. So please remember him and Debbie in your prayers, and the family in your prayers. Okay. Any joys and concerns? I may sound a little bit calm compared to the other Sundays because I didn't have a good sleep last night and 2 days straight. So you may hear me snoring at some point. Usually when I see you snoring, it's fine. Oh, they are at Father's house, God's Lord house. I don't mind. But if you see me, you can give me a sign, okay? So please continue to have Normal Parson and Marion Kick and Don Warkinson and Kelvin Jacobs and more in your prayers. And also pray for the people in Ukraine. We have been praying for them for about a half years. And also pray for the people in Jackson, Mississippi because of the huge flood. So, yeah. And that is coming more and more this time. So please remember them in your prayers. And now let's turn to God and pray. Holy God, you are our God. We claim you. And we come before you and worship you. And we bow before you, before the mystery of your working in Jesus Christ. As we share our joys and concerns together, spoken and unspoken, we lift up our prayers to you, Lord. And every single one of the names we name and unnamed, God, remember each one of them. God, just like the disciples and the saints of old, we are invited. You have invited us to be your servant and disciples. But Lord, so many times we encounter many difficulties in many ways. Sometimes it could be our broken relationship. It could be financial challenge. It could be working area, it could be so many others, but you know what we are going through. Sometimes we want to frame things in a way we can understand, and we are bound by our limited past and limited conceptions. Lord, we need you. We need your inspiration. Lead us today to the place where all things are made new in your grace, and give us your vision and will to embrace people around us and the world of need. Where any of your people suffer, we pray for a way to assist them in your name and in your love. Where any of your people are sick, we pray for the opportunity to visit them and pray for them. Where any of your people hunger, we pray for a way to feed them. Where any of your people are oppressed, Lord, we pray for a way to provide them with justice. God, you know our heart. Every day we are struggling, trying to moving forward to be more to be like Jesus. You know our heart. God, be with us and help us be with us. and you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Please be seated. And let's sing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness, verse 1.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need is Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This is the word of God for the people of God.
These days we have been talking about Jesus. We love him, right? And some of them are a little bit historical, or some of them theological. So that might be dry, but I want to know more about Jesus and Jesus and Jesus, his real story. And I want to be theologically informed and spiritually renewed, refreshed, and sometimes challenged to move forward. Usually every Sunday we had one or two questions that people might have, or some of us, we might have about Jesus. Because some people might be scratching their head, really? Some miracle, some story about his divine nature. But today we are going to have three of them. As we talk about Jesus, let's think about his childhood. How was he when he was maybe 5 or 10 years old? How was he? We don't find any story in the Bible. There is almost nothing in the Gospel. Only Luke has one story when he was 12. Why? There were probably many reasons, and one of them is when the disciples met Jesus, he was already 30 years old. He was grown up. So it is not by accident. Most of the Gospels start when Jesus was 30 and when he was 33. That's the time the disciples knew him. And it happened to be a period that they thought was the most important. And we need to remember that the gospel is not biography of Jesus. It is the proclamation of the good news. The focus is a little bit different. So they are proclaiming what Jesus did, what Jesus stood for, and who he was. In the end, how he worked to deliver us, each one of us. So John says at the end of the gospel, he said, there are also many things that Jesus did. If every single one of them were written down, I suppose the word itself could not contain the books that would be written. So he says, there are so many others. There is more stuff that could have been written and included in the gospel. But he included specific events and the stories in the gospel that he thought were necessary for us to read so that we may follow Jesus. Anyway, we have one story from the gospel about Jesus' childhood. It happened when he was 12 years old. Mary and Joseph went down with Jesus for the Jewish Passover. It was their custom. At least 300,000 people all around the world, they came to Jerusalem once a year. So during the Passover season, about 1 million Jewish people celebrated 1 week festival in Jerusalem that recognizes and remembers the story of the liberation of the Israelite from the slavery in Egypt in Moses' time. So when he was 12, they spent 1 week in Jerusalem. And, okay, party's over. Let's go home. Hundreds and thousands of people, they went back home. On their way home, let's say Joseph, he was in the front of the people with the man carrying heavy stuff and protecting the people. And Mary was in the middle or all the way back with many other women. Maybe there were a couple of hundred or thousands of people traveling back to Nazareth or surrounding areas. They made their home, way home. That night, Mary finds Joseph. Hey, honey, where's our baby? Where's Jesus? How should I know that? Wasn't it with you, Mary? And it doesn't say in the Bible, but you can imagine Mary screaming in the middle of the night, where is he? Right? You can imagine that. They left Jesus, the Son of God, in Jerusalem with thousands of strangers from all around the world. Part of what I love about the story is it is so human. Has any of you misplaced your child? Have you done it? One time I was watching television with my friend, and there was a commercial in which a so tired looking daddy misplaced his son. And I was like, what? What kind of daddy is that? Then my friend said, dude, I did that twice. Then I remembered my father one time, technically twice, he misplaced me when I was little. I was just walking around the shopping mall and looking around so many fancy stuff. And there were so many cool stuff. I really enjoyed that. When he found me, he looked really mad and upset and screaming and yelling, "Where are you?" And I didn't know why he was yelling, because I was having fun. Anyway, he was so mad and upset, and I think my father was mad at himself. This is what happened to Mary and Joseph. I like this story because they are so real. It took one day to get back to Jesus in Jerusalem. They searched for him for one day. Can you imagine having misplaced your child for 2 days? How horrible would you feel? How terrible and terrified would you be? Finally, at the temple, they found Jesus, and they were surprised that he was in the temple asking questions of the priest over there. And the people around him, they were surprised. And Mary and Joseph finally came to him, and they were ready to shake him by his ear. "What are you doing? What are you doing?" He says, "What's the big deal?" We don't find it in the Bible, but anyway, he might have said, "What's the big deal? Didn't you know I have to be here in my father's house?" You see? We don't have any stories about his childhood after this happening. You see? Maybe because he was grounded for 18 years until he became his public ministry. So you get this picture. Jesus didn't perform any miracles, but wanted to be in a place where he could connect to God and talk about God with people. You see, we need a place. Sunday morning and during the week, we need a place and the people talk about God with people and talk to God. We need Him. And the second question people might be curious is, did Jesus get married? Okay, Aaron and Derek, how do you think? Do you think Jesus got married? We don't know. The idea is popular because of a book or film, Da Vinci Code. I really enjoyed it. It was fun. It is a fiction book with real places and some historical materials to make it sound true. And I met many people who got confused as if it were real stories. When you face those kind of people and books and film, we need to examine whether it is real or fictional. So let's talk about Jesus getting married. In the film, it was a huge secret in the early church that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, and they had a child. So the church tried to let nobody know about it, and then who is Mary Magdalene? She did so much important role in the gospel. She was a woman who was deeply troubled at some point. And the gospel says that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her, and we need to know the demon in the first century that was called sometimes mental illness. And here is a troubled woman. And Jesus set her free from the pain and trouble she had struggled with for few years. And then she became one of the several women who provided a lot of stuff for his public ministry. And these women made it possible for Jesus and his ministry to do what they were doing. And I think Jesus would find it almost impossible in the first century to call one of these women to be one of his 12 disciples in their masculine society. Because it was the time most Jewish men prayed every day, three times a day, they prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not a Gentile, and I thank you I'm not a woman. It was their traditional prayer. That was a sort of mentality in the first century. And those women, they were the ones who made Jesus' public ministry possible. And Mary was one of them. And we find Mary Magdalene at the foot of Jesus' cross, the last moment. The disciples, they ran away and hid because of their fear. But Mary, two Marys technically, Mary, the mother of Mary, three of them, Mary Magdalene, they were standing, weeping, and watching Jesus die, risking their lives. And on the third day, it was Mary Magdalene who came to the tomb, and she was the first person who witnessed the resurrected Jesus. And she was the first person who proclaimed, Jesus is alive. The resurrection. She's a really important person in the gospel. But there is nothing in four gospels about her more. None of them hint there was a romantic relationship between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. You know, I think, and many historians, they believe Jesus could have been married. It was common for boys to get married between the age of 14 and 16, if they are nice boys, nice son. And the girls got married when they were 12 and 14 years old. Aaron, Derek, you are ready. Do you think they are ready? But in Jesus' time, they are so ready. Maybe it is too late. Because of their average life expectancy, it was about 35 years old in Jesus' time. So they were so busy. So Da Vinci Code, the book, it says, if you don't get married in Jesus' time at the age, he said, you sin against God. Interesting. Because that's not true. It was not. That is something he makes up in his book and his film. Because many people consciously, voluntarily chose not to get married so that they could devote themselves to God and their work of ministry. So John the Baptist, he was a single. Apostle Paul never got married either. So the idea that Jesus could not have been a single doesn't make sense. But the question is, would the gospel, would the Bible have been different if Jesus had been married? Would you say no? No. If he were married, I'm not going to believe him. Would you say that? Because that doesn't make sense to me. And if he got married, there is no reason the gospel doesn't mention that. And the last question we have today is, what did Jesus look like? Have you seen him? Not the pictures. Have you seen Jesus face to face? If you have seen him, please draw one for me. I want to have that in my office. Many people and articles say Jesus was supposed to be white, a white person. Interesting. What do you mean, supposed to be? It's easy to understand. We might think that Jesus was white because that's a dominant picture we have seen. How many of you have seen this picture? Yes, yes, yes. We know this picture. When you think about Jesus, this picture, this painting pops up in our mind. The painter who drew that portrait is, his name is Warner Salmon. And did you know he lived in Chicago? Not in the Holy Land. And he went to the Chicago Art Institute and he drew this picture in 1941. So this picture is even younger than many of our church family members. It's brand new. Welcome. Right? So New York Times says the Salmon, he was the most famous artist in the 20th century because of the portrait. And this picture has been reproduced over 5 million times only in the United States. Outside the world, you can find this picture every single part of the world. The whole generation of Christians in the 20th century believed Jesus looked like the portrait. But we don't know. What's interesting is the gospel doesn't tell us what it looked like. It was not until about 200 years after the time of Jesus. People didn't know about him. People didn't see him face to face, but they really want to know what it looks like. Maybe he had a long hair. Maybe he had a beautiful beard. I really wanted to have it, but my wife said no. Maybe he had no beard. But I think the gospel and Christians in the first century didn't talk about what Jesus looked like because we are supposed to be like Jesus. We are supposed to see Jesus in each one of us. The idea is we are supposed to recognize at some point the point of the incarnation of God. It was God came to us like us, whatever we look like. So for many of you, it might be a white Jesus, but Christians in Africa, South America, the Middle East, and Asia, and even the Native American, they might have different pictures of Jesus. The point is, Jesus came to us in flesh and bone. Jesus walked among us to speak to us. And Jesus describes himself in the gospel. He describes himself more than 60 times in the gospels. It was the man of God, the Son of Man. The Bible talks that we are meant to be epistles. We are meant to be ambassadors. We are meant to be radiance of God. And we are the only gospel that people around us could read. Some people around you may recognize. So you're a Christian. Okay. They know you and they see you. They are not going to open the Bible and read it, but they will read the Bible through you. Let me ask you, what do people see when they see us? Is it Jesus in us or others? When people look at us, what if Jesus they see in us is hurting and wounding other people? Who's going to follow that Jesus? But when we incarnate Jesus, when we become like Jesus, when we live out his mission, message, his love, his grace, his kindness, his compassion, and his mercy, people read the gospel that we are living. And they may say, I don't know much about it, but I see Jesus in you. I want to know more about Jesus in you. You know, I'm not that concerned about what Jesus literally looks like. Anyway, we will see him in heaven, so it's just a matter of time. But I'm not that concerned what it looks like or what happened in his childhood, whether he was white, black, yellow, or red. What I do care about is he was the incarnation of God who brings healing, restoration, and reconciliation. When he saw somebody broken, he stopped and ministered to them. When he saw somebody in need of forgiveness, he stopped and forgave them. And he shows grace, kindness, compassion, mercy, and love. When he found the people pushed down by somebody who had more power, he stopped. And he was out of his way to seek them who was lost and bring them back to God. That is what drove Jesus. That is who Jesus is. That is our Savior, the one we are called to follow and demonstrate who Jesus is in our faith journey. You see, by our willingness to show compassion, kindness, mercy, love, grace, and forgiveness, people see Jesus in you, in you, in you. When you do that, we become Jesus to them. We become the gospel to the people around us. You see, that is Jesus' invitation for us.
I've told you a few times my nickname is Goldfish. My wife calls me Goldfish, and I have a tiger.
Out of hundreds of fish. Sometimes, I ask her, why do you call me fish, Goldfish? And she said, oh, you drink a lot of water. But I think she calls me Goldfish because I forget everything in 10 seconds. You see? For that one, I'm really grateful for the communion. In our journey, sometimes we forget about this. In our journey, sometimes we are tired. Sometimes we are lost. We need a reminder again and again and again that we need to be radiance of God, Jesus. And we are the ambassador of Jesus. We need to be like Jesus. We forget about that, like goldfish. But the communion reminds us, Jesus says, I will be with you. I will be with you. Get to work. As we break the bread and share the cup, we say yes to Jesus. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Bless each one of us and these precious elements of the Holy Communion. Lord, make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ so that as we take them, make us the body of Jesus redeemed by his blood. Lord, let us be radiant of your love. Help us be more like Jesus. Amen. You know, these days we share the bread from this one bread, and I sanitized my hands, and I'm going to have my chef mask just for in case, but if you are willing and comfortable to come forward and receive the bread, it is okay. If you are not yet, you may remain sitting wherever you are and join with a prefilled set. So now you are invited. I love this part. At the 8 a.m. service, we find God's hand and the reason to be grateful for good and bad, mountaintop experience, or in the evening, in the dark moment, we find God and we may be grateful. So what are you grateful during the week? Let's share that and celebrate it together. It's fantastic. I love it. I love it. Yes, we are grateful for the weather.
We've got a great bunch of students this year who are all excited. So.
Oh, yes! Are you guys happy? One said. That is our joys and concerns, so we need to have them in our prayers and support.
Uh-huh. Appreciate all the blessings that we
Yes, yes. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I love to see you. Happy retirement! Thank you. In a couple of weeks, we will have blessing of the backpack and kickoff Sunday and have fun, hot dog. I'm really excited. And for that one, I thought about one project to help, teachers in our school district. You will hear that next Sunday. And we are really happy. Kids are growing and we have good teachers in our school district. And we may do something to serve our community. I'm really happy. So happy to see you. Yes. We find reasons to be grateful every day. That is our journey. Sometimes we cry out to God. Even at that time, we are grateful. We have God. That we may complain. We may be mad at God, but we have God. We may express our role emotion, who knows every single moment of our lives. With all the gratitude, we focus our mind on God, give it to God, give our heart, give our mind, give our word. Amen. Thank you.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Generous God, you shower us with blessings and call us to share. Thank you for this opportunity to shine your light into the world through our work of justice and compassion. We pray and live in the name of your true light, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is This Little Light of Mine, number 585.
Oh. This little light of mine, gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All through the night, all through the night, I'm gonna let it shine. Through the night, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. Please remain standing and receive the benediction. You are the light of the world, because you are the radiant of Jesus Christ, our light. So now take the light into the places that need the light and love of God. Take the light into all the places that need the light and grace of Jesus Christ. And take the light into all the places that need the light and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let us go and be the light of the world. May God go with you. Amen.